I worship you today. Keep me in league with you, that I may not waver. I believe that this song should be our prayer to the living God at all times. We cannot walk alone. We do not want to walk alone. We look up to Him and we trust Him. Oh, teach me to praise you even more at all times, until one day my thanksgiving up there will be without end. That is a marvelous saying. I believe we all want that. Before we stand up to pray, let me read from Isaiah, from the prophet Isaiah, perhaps from chapter 56. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Dear brothers and sisters, if this was true the first time, we know that we are also living in these days when the Lord will appear again, when He will take His own to Himself, into His kingdom, into His glory. His word does not deceive. His word does not disappoint anyone. But what He has promised has been fulfilled at all times. And in our days too, what He foresaw will be fulfilled. And then He says, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Isn't that a marvelous encouragement? Is this not a marvelous promise from the living God? When it says here, neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. What precious promises are given to those who hold fast to His covenant. And we have sung here in the song, keep me in covenant with you, that I may not waver. Dear brothers and sisters, these are not empty promises, but the unmistakable Word of God. And I think we can think back and go all the way to the New Testament and hear the words that our Lord said when He departed from this earth of His own. I go to prepare a place for you and will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that, beloved, is just around the corner. Yes, how precious. No one needs to retreat disappointed. No one needs to walk away disappointed. But now it is time to persevere. What good is a beginning if we don't want to persevere to the end? We must persevere to the end. Remain faithful to the Word. Believe the promises of God. And then we will see what the Lord has promised. Yes, also the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, Yet will I gather others to Him, beside those that are gathered unto Him. Praise and thanks be to our God for these comforting and glorious words. I believe that this evening we also have reason to praise our God, to glorify our God for all the good things He has done for you and for me. I think we should now stand up to pray together. Faithful God, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts that we may be gathered here this evening. We thank You for all those who have come and those who will come in these days. But we thank You especially for Your precious and holy Word. Your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. Where should we go? And what should we cling to, Lord? You alone have the words of eternal life. Only You have the right word for us tonight. You have already told us that we should hold fast to Your covenant and to Your word, Lord, and not tear ourselves away, but walk with You hand in hand until we come from believing unto seeing. Lord, we know that it will be worth it, for You have promised to give us the fullness of joy. Lord, we thank You. You have gone to prepare a place for us, a place where we will be where You are. Lord, that is our joy. That is our desire. That is our confidence. We worship You this evening and thank You from the depths of our hearts. Guide our hearts to praise You even more. Lord, even in these days, O God, give it to me, give it to us all. Help us in this time, in these last moments, for we know, Lord, that Your coming is very near. Praise, honor, and glory, and worship be to Your glorious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Here we have read it. Unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Here are three things: election, well-pleasing, covenant. God has made a covenant with us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God's well-pleasing rested on Him, and whoever is in Him has God's well-pleasing resting on them, just as it rested on Him. And then election. Those who have been chosen by God will choose what has been ordained for them by God. The one belongs to the other and cannot be separated. So, whoever has been chosen by God will choose what has been ordained for him by God. Whoever is destined for God's well-pleasing to rest on him must have been chosen. To be called is not enough. For many are called, but few are chosen. And then it is summarized, and remain faithful to my covenant. The Lord has made this covenant with us. And it also says here, this may surprise us a little, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. What can be better, what can be greater, what can be more than sons and daughters? When we read in the third church age message, the overcomers are promised that they will receive a name which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 2, verse 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. This promise is not addressed to believers in general, but to the elect, to the overcomers, to those on whom God's well-pleasing rests, those who have made the covenant with God, because he has made it with them. So when it is written here, a name that is better than sons and daughters, there will be many sons and daughters, many believers, who will not be there at the rapture, but only at the second resurrection. So the point is, and it says literally, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. If we remember Brother Branham's sermon, he said, whoever is written in the book of life, his name may be blotted out under certain circumstances. But if our names are written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, then that is an eternal thing with God. And therefore also here the term, an everlasting name I will give them, which shall not be blotted out, which cannot be blotted out. It is an eternal divine destiny for all those who have been chosen by God, on whom his well-pleasing rests, and with whom he has made the covenant. They are sons and daughters of God, become overcomers, and then, after they have overcome, receive this name, an everlasting name. The name we have now is temporary. It was given to us by our earthly parents, but that will be the name given to us by our Heavenly Father. It will be an everlasting name. Isn't it marvelous how the prophets already proclaimed the glorious gospel, the biblical truths while they were still hidden, veiled in here and there, and yet revealed to those who should see it, who should know it. Yes, revealed to those for whom it is intended. Then there is also this sentence, "For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people." Our Lord referred to this word when he cleaned up the temple and became angry and overturned the tables and struck them with a whip. He said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." So the Lord has the right to clean up his house. He has the right to overthrow. He has the right to chastise, to correct, and whatever is necessary. And he does this through his word and through his spirit with all those with whom he means well. I was looking at chapter 57 in the prophet Isaiah, and I would like to read these verses here from verse 14. "And shall say, cast ye up, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." That is what God wants. He has not only determined how we are, he has the medicine, the means to heal us, and says here, to revive the spirit of the humble. We need that very much. I urgently need it. A new reviving in my spirit and a new refreshing in my heart. May God give me and all of us that in these days. Can we believe it? Can we believe that God will do it? Can we fervently ask him for it? And can we thank him that he will do it? Not just asking, but believing and thanking. That is the secret. With him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. God will fulfill his promise. He will fulfill what he has promised. We do not trust in ourselves, but in his indescribable grace, which is new every day. In earthly terms, I enter these days with fear and trembling, wishing that the last meeting had not only begun, but had already ended. And yet I know in my heart that God sees, knows, and recognizes the hunger and thirst of His people and will satisfy it. Amen. Yes. We believe that with all our hearts. I will say it again. We do not come here to talk about ourselves and present ourselves as spiritually strong. We need the grace of God with every step, with every tread. We need His grace to come forward, to stand here at the front, to preach His word. Without Him, we can do absolutely nothing that could stand before Him. Much is done without Him, but what is done without Him will not stand its ground before Him. Only what is done with Him or through Him will be able to stand its ground before Him. Now comes this powerful verse. I have seen His ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. There must be mourners who need comfort. And the Lord says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. But the condition for receiving divine consolation is that we mourn. To mourn, we realize that when someone has gone home, when death has come in and swept someone away, then we mourn earthly. Is it different spiritually? We bear a deep, unspeakable sorrow for everything connected with the kingdom of God and with the people of God, because we have sown the seed of God. Those who have not experienced this, they say, man, divide, and then it's all right. It is not all right. If a person has sown the divine seed and has witnessed that people have been born again to new life, then it is not the same. Then you cannot say, divide. And then everyone has half. Do you know what everyone has then? Nothing. If the body of the Lord is divided, what do you have? Then you have two dead pieces, but not one living body. If only people would realize that divine laws reign in the kingdom of God, and that no one has the right to speak, let alone decide or act in the matter of God. We want God to come into His own, to tell us what He wants to tell us. That is my deepest desire for these days. We can all read the same scriptures from Matthew, from Mark, from Luke, from the Gospel of John, and they have been read millions of times around the world over the years. But we want to experience that the Lord, who suffered, who died, who rose from the dead on the third day, that he also reveals himself to us as the risen one and reveals himself to us in the power of his resurrection. It says here, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, not only in the heart, even on the lips. A person who has peace with God in his heart will have peace in his words. He who has discord in his heart will create discord with his lips. Here it says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. If we take this word into the New Testament, Paul elaborates on it and says, he brought peace to us who are near and to those who are afar off. The nations were far off, the people of Israel were near, and in Christ, reconciliation has been made for all who were near and for those who were far off, and we may have peace with God. He who has it in his heart also has it on his lips. And he who does not have it on his lips does not have it in his heart. He deceives himself. Here we are dealing with God and his word. And God's word always tells the truth. And I will heal him. But listen to what verse 20 says. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I could take you to the prophet Jeremiah. There the Spirit of God speaks through him. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as he that setteth snares. There is no peace for the wicked, even though they are among the people of God. This does not change anything in the heart. Belonging to a church, attending a church service, that's not all. Something has to happen in the heart. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest. The sea is always tossing to and fro, high tide and low tide. The moon makes it all work, and it's troubled. You should walk along such a beautiful beach, the 21 kilometers of sandy beach on the Isle of Fanø, on a morning after high tide. A few lorries are picked up of planks and barrels and all kinds of things. You have no idea what comes ashore. Yes, when you look at the sea, marvelous, you only see the beautiful waves. But when the tide is out As long as the tide is high, everything is fine. But when the tide is out, and everything is so beautifully left behind, I have seen it every morning for days. The men with a lorry, when one was full, then the other came. I'll say it again. You also have to know these practical examples. When it says here, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Well, and when it is stirred up like this, what comes out of it? There is nothing pure, nothing edible. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But Paul writes to the Romans, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He who is a true believer is not like the troubled sea that brings mud and filth. Whoever has become a true believer will have a well in his heart, springing up into everlasting life. This is what our Lord said in the last day, that great day of the feast in Jerusalem. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He gave the clear and distinct promise, the water that I will give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life, opened by God himself. And nothing other than divine will come forth. May the name of the Lord be praised and highly exalted. Amen. Let us thank the Lord together, but also implore him and ask that he would make the days ahead of us a lasting, eternal blessing for everyone who comes, not just for some, but that for all, for everyone, would be something in the sermon that God would take, put it in our hearts, and make it alive through the Spirit. Let us present everything to the Lord, our God, in this way. O Lord, our God, we come before your holy face, just as we are, and lay before you the days that lie ahead of us. O God, if you do not go with us, we will not be able to rise up and take even one step forward in faith. Therefore, we pray to you, faithful Lord, arise in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and go before your people with power, and let us follow you in faith, that we may behold your glory. Yes, you go at the head of your people. We thank you, faithful God, save the lost, heal the sick, deliver all who are possessed, O God, no matter what kind, O God. Give us meetings in which your presence could be manifested in everyone for the honor of your name. Beloved Lord, not that which we feel, But that which we believe, that shall we behold. That which we ask in thy name, which is according to thy word, that shall we receive. And we ask you, Lord, to save, heal, and deliver all those who have asked that we pray for them. We bring them to you, faithful God. May you, as in ancient times, visit your people, visiting them through thy word, through your blood, through your spirit, in your divine power, work so mightily. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you. You have already conquered everything. You have finished it. Hallelujah. To your marvelous and holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus is victor over death. Jesus is victor, breaks all adversity. Jesus is victor throughout eternity. Jesus has already achieved victory for me. Hallelujah, I am redeemed by his blood. Hallelujah, I have it so good. Hallelujah. The Savior is near. Hallelujah. How good it is to be saved. Amen.